Welcome, everybody, to the NPC's Weekly News Roundup for the final NPC's Weekly News Roundup for 2023 for the week of December 30th, 2023. Here is what's making headlines. GTA 5 source code leaks reveals previously planned DLC. Wii U and 3DS online services shut down months ahead of schedule. And Bobby Kotick leaves Activision Blizzard and employees speak out. My name is Travis Sherman, and as always for the Weekly News Roundup, I am joined by Kyle Inman. Kyle, happy holidays to you. Happy almost New Year, of course, by the time we're recording this. It's been a ride this year, hasn't it?
Oh man, has it been. And happy holidays and New Year to you. Holy crap. It's been a fast one, and I'm just so glad to say it's the final story, but this is the final close, the final countdown of the culmination of everything that we've talked about for the past 3 years is finally happening.
Well, that's why I decided to put it, you know, save the best for last, right?
Yeah, I mean this is a momentous occasion. And this year was just too fast, too many good games. I'm still playing all sorts of new ones that I picked up over the holiday. I know you got a chance to pick up a few as well, and it's been crazy.
Well, in a manner of speaking, so obviously, of course, you know, thinking about holidays and what we all got for Christmas and stuff. How did you fare on the gaming front?
Oh man, like as far as stuff that I picked up and got,
or even were gifted.
Oh man, no, people don't gift me games because they know better.
I know that one for a fact.
Yeah, no, I actually ended up picking up. I think if I count since Black Friday, probably 50 games.
Jesus Christ!
Up a Star Wars pack. I picked up an Oddworld pack. Actually, I picked up 2 Oddworld packs, Hogwarts. There was a game that I've never heard of that was I got for free. Viewfinder, Lethal Company, Chrono Cross,
Baldur's Gate.
Yep. Yeah, Overload, Mars vs. Logistics. Excellent game after excellent game. And, you know, there's a couple older games in there. Well, yeah, I think two of them were that I had, and I didn't even name them all. So it's been nuts for the holidays for me. And I've just been having a blast, especially with that Steam sale I think it's the best one that they've had in a while.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what the word is here. I want to use, I don't want to say precipitated because that's raining. I don't know necessarily what may have driven some of these things that are on the sale, but yeah, it itself has actually looked pretty good, and at least there's still a few days left. So if you haven't narrowed down what else you wanted to buy, at least there's still some time, right?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know about you, but there's still a few that I'd like to pick up if possible.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, there's a couple on there. I haven't even bought any new games for myself, but obviously, of course, you were there. Biggest gaming thing, though, at least for me, has been the PC build. So, obviously, of course, recording for the first time now on my new PC build, rocking a Ryzen 9 7900X with the RTX 4070, 64 gigs of RAM. And, yeah, it's been running very well.
Welcome to the now.
Oh, no kidding. Well, welcome to the next 6 years, because that's what this machine's going to have to do for me, because any upgrades to this thing going forward are going to end up being just in place things that I can do, whether there's a new GPU comes out, whether a CPU, a new AM5 CPU comes out from AMD, you know, more storage potentially. I mean, I really can't do much more on the RAM part. I guess I could. But I'm at 64.
Is it necessary?
Yeah, I'm double at what I had in my previous machine, which was 32.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, the only downside, of course, that I had with getting this machine is that the images for the case, at least online that I remember seeing, had pictures of case fans that came with it. I had no fans. So I had to borrow the fans from the computer that I then gave my wife. And finally, this last week, just bought dedicated fans and have those in place now. And I have those synced up. They're Corsair fans. So, of course, they're synced up with my headset and my mouse. Unfortunately, not my keyboard. So I've got this whole effect thing going on all over the place. It's a little funky, so to speak. But yeah, so I mean, outside of, at least on the rest of the gaming stuff, that's been the big gaming thing, at least for me.
You have PC synesthesia from your RGB controller.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, but hey, at least I can play Cyberpunk 2077 better now.
Yeah, no doubt, absolutely, and it's so worth it. I especially think because they added that update that allows the ray tracing 2.0, or no, it's the DLSS 2.0, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and my card's not capable of that, so that's a whole different ball game of what I can actually do on that front.
Well, you got to think, though.
And it does change it. It does change it.
It does. But I'll be honest with you is that, like, I'm not even playing, I think, with DLSS on. I think I'm playing at ultra settings, and I'm rocking anywhere between 70 to 90 FPS in there without ray tracing. And then when I get to ray tracing, I'm above 60. So that's cool.
Heck
but,
yeah.
But, hey, I can at least run it now better than I previously could. So, hey, I'm not gonna fight it. Not going to argue. But yeah, I would say that's, at least for the extent of my gaming stuff this holiday season, that's been the big part of it. I haven't bought any new games. It's just mostly going back to the stuff that didn't run well enough on my previous machine that will run better here.
Well, that's not true. You picked up Lethal Company.
Okay, yes. Okay, that's
That's true. Because you convinced me to pick it up.
Yes,
so.
Yes. And we still need to play that one together. We need to find a couple more people to play that with, especially because it's definitely better when you have more people. So,
right.
Yeah. But outside of that, yeah, that's true. Lethal Company was really the big thing. Well, cool. But I think what we need to do, though, Kyle, is move into these three stories here that we have for the end of the year. And I guess cover some of this
crazy
chaos.
Closeout.
Yeah, because at least two of them.
Chaotic closeout is what I like it.
Because two of them are pretty crazy themselves. But, I mean, hey, when has the news not been crazy this year when it comes to games? So,
no doubt.
Yeah, so let's just hop right into it then with our first story we got on here. So GTA 5 source code leaked out this last week, and it looks like that some sleuths have discovered there was potentially planned DLC for the single-player side of GTA 5. So as we know, of course, and as the community knows, GTA 5 has a very well-organized story. Of course, three different segments to it with Michael, Trevor, and Franklin. But there really hadn't been anything that happened inside the game itself after the events concluded. Everything seemed to change focus over to GTA Online. And it was determined that Rockstar and Take-Two were making a boatload of money on GTA Online. So we never saw any DLC, at least for the main campaign, but everything was moved over to online. Turns out, though, that there were potentially some expansions made for the GTA 5 single-player story. And it looks like with this source code, it revealed these couple different things. This is what was found and listed out per Kotaku. There was a SP assassination pack. SP, of course, looks like it stands for single player. SP Manhunt Pack, SP Norman Pack, Agent Trevor, Relationship Pack, Enterprise Pack, Prologue DLC, and then Liberty 5 or Liberty V DLC. So the idea, of course, that Kotaku's put together here is that the they think that maybe the Trevor one might have been some sort of secret agent type thing that he got to do. Relationship pack could have been like dating or even marriage to Los Santos is what they say here. There was dating, of course, in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So that wasn't necessarily a shock to maybe see something like that come back, though, too. And then the idea, though, of Liberty 5 DLC is that maybe we would have ended up back in, like, Liberty City for something. Just like in, I believe it was San Andreas that we ended up in Liberty City for, like, one mission in a small part of Liberty City, though, right?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
It was that Italian restaurant, but I think that was as far as you got.
Right.
Yeah, and then the mention, of course, of the prologue DLC may have actually provided more expansion on the events that took place at the very beginning of GTA 5, where you were kind of introduced to Michael and the heist that he was involved with Trevor when he quote unquote died. So. Yeah, there's a couple of different things here that could have existed at that point, but it looks like there were some notes on this, or at least some interviews that were done way back in 2017 by Game Informer, talking with Imran Sarwar, who is the director of design over at Rockstar. He said that the next-gen versions of GTA 5 took a while to get right. GTA Online hogged resources, and Red Dead Redemption 2 was around the corner. So here's what he overall said. The combination of these three factors meant for GTA 5, we did not feel single-player expansions were either possible or necessary, but we may well do them for future projects. At Rockstar, we will always have bandwidth issues because we are perfectionists, and to make huge, complex games takes a lot of time and resources. Not everything is always possible, but we still love single-player open-world games more than anything. I don't think you could make a game like GTA 5 if you didn't like single-player games and try to expand their possibilities. So that's kind of interesting to say that at least that, you know, they didn't want to abandon anything potentially with single-player, but they did, and they had some ideas potentially, but it never came to fruition because, of course, let's put all the effort into the moneymaker. Let's put the effort into GTA Online. So, I mean, what do you think, Kyle? I mean, like, not all of these may have seen the light of day, but, you know, wouldn't it have been nice to see some DLC for the single player?
I think it would have been nice. And I honestly think it would have potentially maybe even sold more copies of the single player campaign to people that had purchase just the multiplayer expansion, because at one point you could just buy GTA Online as its own separate entity. You didn't have to have the single player campaign installed at all. You could just play the multiplayer. And I think the fact that they could have advertised that, you know, there were new DLCs coming out for the game could have drawn in a new audience. Seeing that they were supporting the game as much as they were supporting the online aspect. However, I don't think that all this work was for nothing. The fact that we're seeing the larger, or the potential for a much larger map on GTA 6, as well as the fact that there is this potentially a relationship dynamic between the two main characters, and who knows, maybe even further on in an online portion or separate portion of GTA 6. I don't think all these entities are necessarily dead. I think they are going to live on through GTA 6, but it was more of a learning experience. You know, they poked and prodded at what they could have come out with. But at the same time, they had the launch of the multiplayer only, and they already had loading issues, and it took them many years for that one person that actually was awarded that what was it, $10,000 for actually decreasing the load time for the game in its entirety. So maybe that was another factor in it. They knew they had horrendous load times, and they kind of started to abandon ship on it already at that point and kind of, you know, just back shelf it for the time being. But as the patch came out and, you know, multiplayer grew, they didn't feel the need to necessarily work it into the game as it was, because they could expand the multiplayer at that point and just maybe bring those aspects into GTA 6.
Maybe. You know, it's very possible that that stuff could expand. And I think you're right that with the, you know, the map is going to be much larger. At least it's rumored to be in GTA 6. So it's possible that we could see some of these things that they had planned for 5 work their way into 6 in some capacity. But whether or not that does happen is going to be, you know, it won't be discovered until we get into it this coming year, or at least the next couple of years. But I will like to make mention, though, of something here that the story doesn't talk to. It's about that leaked source code. I thought you'd find this interesting too, Kyle. So this leaked source code came out of the leaks, I believe it was either earlier this year or late last year, by the hacking group Lapsus S, or they have, it's Lapsus and then the S dollar sign there. They were the ones who leaked the GTA 6 development videos that really kind of gave us the view into a lot of things we never expected to ever see about this game, you know, up until at least the actual announcement of things. Now, this source code that leaked out was a part of that same hack. And what's been going on as of late is that people have downloaded the source code and have actually figured out how to compile it. So not only is it just them being able to read through raw GTA 5 source code, but they've actually been able to compile it and run it as a normal game. And what they're doing right now is they are in the process of working out how best to share what information they're gathering from this compiling to be able to share with modders for GTA 5 and for those who run, like, say, like the NoPixel servers, the ones for the GTA Online RP environment, on how best to potentially support them by enhancing things that they have in their wheelhouse. So that's a pretty big thing. And the added bonus, I guess, at least for them, is that apparently this data is as fresh as August of 2023. So this isn't really old, but it's definitely, you know, it's going to be a few months behind for any patches. But at the same time, it's going to have some good stuff in it.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just sad that someone is able to get a hold of someone else's work like that and just tear it apart and, you know, do with it what they will. But to the same effect, I guess it does work to the advantage of modders, you know, in that same aspect, because there are a lot of people that play the RP servers, that play, you know, mod servers where you can play as like superheroes or cops and robbers, or, you know, they just do real role playing, like you said. And for that aspect, it's great, but to the same aspect, it's like someone worked hard on that code, and for you to just steal it, that's pretty messed up.
That's true. I think, as you know, I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I think the other side of this, though, too, that I see this also as a win for in some regard is the video game preservation market. Those who really like to maintain that. Like, I don't imagine that this code may have contained the GTA Online source code. I don't know that for a fact, though. It looks like everything I've seen so far has been mostly focused on the single player side. But with that said, it would be interesting to know if it does include it, because as we know, when a game generally goes and shuts down in some way, or they stop supporting it, the support for the online servers, if there is an online component, generally isn't too far behind. So yeah, it'd be one of those things to at least have that available for video game preservationists, or for those who could potentially reverse engineer and keep things running in some way. But again, it is proprietary code. It's source code for a very, very successful game. And I'm sure Rockstar is going to do whatever they can to try to get things taken down. But once someone downloads it, it's out there. But again, I feel for you, Kyle. I feel 100% what you're talking about. I do, you know. But at the same time, I look at it like in a glass half full situation, where it's like, this does potentially offer some value. Now, I do have concerns, of course, about those who might look at this for hacks or exploits or cheats or anything in GTA 5 or GTA Online.
Or for that matter, you know, how careful they are when they are downloading it, because this is something Take-Two and the guys over at Rockstar, they are vicious about, you know, takedowns and serving you. So just be aware that you could get a letter from your ISP if you are trying to attempt to download any of this code.
Yeah, there. I would say that on the scale, of course, is that I think Nintendo's lawyers are definitely the most aggressive ones, but Take-Two's are not that far behind.
Right.
Yeah. So keep an eye out, folks, on any potential other things that could come up with that source code stuff, but it's interesting to learn about the DLCs that could have been for single player. But we carry on, of course, to how about some sad news, I guess, for some of you, I hate to say classic console players, you know, it's weird to say classic on this one or even like legacy because they still feel new to me.
A legacy now.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Nintendo has started to shut down their online play services for Wii U and 3DS games. This is a big one, Kyle. So they said they were going to be shutting down their online services coming up in around early April of this coming year. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they may have accelerated those plans. So some people have been actually noticing that some of these games that people have been trying to play, it looks like they've already begun to restrict the access to their online services. So it looks like a lot of this is starting to make its way of the dinosaurs here. So what do you think about that, Kyle? I mean, quick to think about, really.
Well, you know, I hate to say it. I kind of saw it coming. You think about it, we already had the shutdowns earlier this year with, like, Mario Kart and some of the other servers because there was vulnerable code that was able to be exploited to steal sensitive information or potentially shut the system completely down. And that goes for both Wii U and 3DS. Now, later on, Nintendo did actually fix that code and they were able to bring those servers back up. But I don't think that happened quite until almost September. Maybe it was a little bit earlier than that. But I think at that point, there was a large chunk of people that already had kind of given themselves to the fact that it might be the end of the online service for these two units. And the fact that they got it for a little bit longer, especially with Mario Kart, it's an advantage, but it was something that was on the horizon, and the fact that Nintendo had already pulled it just for the vulnerable code, and I feel like we should have known that this was a possibility, that it could have happened early anyway.
I really wish they kind of would have provided some sort of advance heads up. I mean, they did make it clear apparently that they were going to potentially discontinue things earlier than planned. So I don't know necessarily what drove up the schedule, but it is here at least right now that people are starting to lose access to that online play. So it is a chapter that's being closed in the history of video games now. But at the same time, there is a group out there who's working to make a open source Nintendo network replacement. This guy here in this article is referenced. His name is Jonathan Barrow, and he's with a group called Pretendo of everything, you know, of every name you could possibly come up with. He says there's an open source Nintendo network replacement. He says it's a part of like the what Nintendo's doing right now is a slow rollout of their plans. So I guess April may be the final point when things get done, but they must be doing rollouts per region. And then what Pretendo is doing here is that maybe they've reverse engineered how Nintendo Network works, but they're going to try to bring stuff back online so that way those who can or want to use their 3DSs and their Wii U's online again will be able to do so using a third-party service. Of course, it's not sanctioned by Nintendo. We'll see what Nintendo lawyers do. But, you know, this is a pretty big deal, again, because I still know a few people who like to carry their 3DSs around.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, obviously, of course, the Wii U you're not carrying anywhere anyway. But
right,
this is the world we yeah, no kidding. This is the world we live in when it comes to online stuff, though. Now, anyway, Kyle, like we just talked about with the GTA Online stuff and the source code there, you know, or the possibility that GTA Online source code could be there. It's like once a game gets shut down, you know, if it had an online component and that goes away soon after, then that's a lot of stuff that goes away, you know, and it's really hard for video game preservationists, especially for anything that has like may have just a strictly online functionality to it. Otherwise, the game doesn't work at all. Right. That's a big thing to try to maintain. So there's a lot of stuff that may just not work anymore. And it's a sad thing to think about.
Yeah, and like I said, I feel like we knew it was on the horizon, but also maybe, and I hate to be the one that's jumping to the conclusions because I've always been the guy that's wanting to pump the brakes on predictions as far as Nintendo and next-gen systems, but maybe this is the actual first sign. The fact that they are getting rid of the servers, they're moving on from the console. It's a shift in focus that they don't have to, you know, think about the past whatsoever. Now they can fully focus on the current and the future. And maybe that's where Nintendo's looking. We're already expected, or I think we're expected to hear something later this coming year. But there's already been predictions that it may happen sooner than that because of the way the market's moving. Who's to say that this isn't the first flag that it is going to happen sooner than later?
Are you talking specifically about the launch of the console, of the next one?
Yeah, like a next-gen Switch launch or an announcement of a next-gen or Switch predecessor, I should say.
That's about what I thought you were going with there. Yeah, and that's the big thing that we've got coming up next, really, is just that next one. So, yeah, you're right, is that by decreasing the requirements for resources to be allocated to these older services, why not put all your effort into supporting the current system and the next system, or getting ready to support the next system?
Absolutely. So, and yeah, I think that's really where they're at this point. And you know, like I said, the sunset was already there for the 3DS, the Wii U, and the eShop, and now we're finally seeing the crest of that horizon, and it is sooner than what we thought, but is it?
I don't know.
It like I said, makes Nintendo be able to shift focus. So it hopefully does. That's what it is, and not something that they're just, you know, letting go to the wind. But I doubt it, because that's not Nintendo.
Yeah, it really isn't anymore, is it?
No.
Yeah, what a shame. But, of course, hold tightly, you know, onto your Wii U and your 3DS as much as you can, because there at least will be an open source component for Nintendo Network coming up here soon. So if you really want to be online with one of those things, at least something will be available here maybe in the near future for you.
Well, and you know, the cool thing about 3DS games and Wii U games especially too, they're not super collectible yet. There's still a lot of availability for 3DS games, and there's actually a company out there that does reproductions that are full reproductions of cartridges for 3DS games, including like Metroid Returns, and you couldn't tell the difference between it and a legit cartridge. So if you still play it, definitely check out, you know, your other resources, because there are things that are out there. And this Protendo thing might be your next best bet to having a new eShop.
Maybe. I mean, a new eShop. Wonder how that would actually work out.
Yeah, well, and maybe not even an eShop, but it could be like a download hub for like homebrew.
It's possible. But again, I see Nintendo's lawyers coming in and kicking the door in. Come on, Kyle, you know this. I know this.
Oh, I know.
The person listening at home knows this. So, I guess...
Please don't come after me, Nintendo. Yeah. I can't afford it.
they're already in the shadows.
I'm not telling people to do this.
They're waiting for you. They're already in the shadows.
Right.
But let's move on, though, here to our last story for this week's news roundup and this last story for 2023, because this is definitely a win for, I think, all of us out there. But at the same time, it's a win for the developers at Activision and Blizzard, as well as, of course, you know, hopefully a fresh turn of the page to a new chapter as they work with their new partners at Xbox. But Bobby Kotick has now officially stepped down from Activision Blizzard. Now that the acquisition of all of those game companies, Activision Blizzard King, is completed. So Bobby Kotick has left. Microsoft now owns all of these. And it is the best news, I think, that we could ever have received to close out the year, Kyle.
I think so, too.
We've all known it, that he has been nothing but a monster.
Allegedly.
Not even allegedly. And we've got some stuff coming up here. But
I know, but he's, for legal reasons.
I know. Well, he has made himself a rather, like, the company itself, Activision Blizzard, while it was actually listed as its own on the stock market there, it made a lot of money. They did very good for themselves, not only with continuous profitable Call of Duty releases, but several successful releases of games from Blizzard, as well as, of course, all the mobile revenue coming in from King. But at the same time, doesn't mean that things weren't bad on the inside. We talked about it a couple of years ago with all the sexual harassment lawsuits going on. Of course, the investigations going into the workplace practices, too. It's been chaotic, to say the least. That's why I'm hoping this is a new page. But it doesn't mean that now with Bobby Kotick gone, doesn't mean people aren't going to speak out about the way he was there. And that's what this article talks to us about here. So this article from PC Games N talks specifically about that. So a former Call of Duty programmer over at Demonware, her name is Christina Pollock. What she had gone to say is she said, in my first month it came out, he threatened to have an employee killed. In the all hands that followed, no one wanted to speak first. So I demanded his firing in front of everyone. We all need to revolt against people like this every time. So apparently in 2006, Bobby Kotick had sent out a voicemail threatening to have his assistant killed. Which, that's pretty shocking, especially there, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one thing. And then another one, community development manager over at Blizzard, Andy Belford, he talked about, I guess, Kotick's refusal to address employees' concerns. They go on to say here, workers knew Overwatch 2 would have reviewed poorly on Steam and begged higher-ups for more resources, but demands were reportedly all flatly denied. Andy learned that Kotick had pushed for a Steam launch with no additional help to support the community team. So, yeah. Yeah, and here's the actual tweet that Andy had put out. He says, breaking my silence to share a fun fact. When we planned Overwatch 2's Steam launch, my team warned months in advance that we were going to be review bombed. We begged for more information, more details, and more resources to help us with the anticipated influx, all flatly denied. Moderation of Steam was put on the community team, not a function of community at Blizz, despite my refusal to want to expose members of my team to that level of toxic content and posts. When asked whose decision it was to launch on Steam with no additional help, Bobby. Yeah, and he goes on to say here, this is only one example of the culture Kotick bred at AB. Everything flowed downstream, usually landing on the lowest paid and most overworked individuals. Management was too busy reacting to the wildly vacillating direction and decisions that made zero sense. So that, vacillating is what the term is. I actually had to go and look up that definition. So vacillating, the definition there for everybody, alternate or waver between different opinions or actions, be indecisive. I had to look that definition up because I'm like, I've never heard that word before. But anyway, that's only a couple of the stories. There are plenty of others published, but I mean, Kyle, we already knew that, like, there was a lot of crap going on there, and that everybody had already known that his compensation package was way too much, and that people like well down the chain were not being paid enough. But he is now that he's gone, though, you know, like, well, how do you think things are going to?
Other damning stuff like female employees. What was it? They would have to. Oh, guys would crawl under the desks of female employees, and this was encouraged by Bobby allegedly. And they called it what was it? The cubicle crawl or something. This we had read months and months ago before the sexual lawsuit had so actually it was like 2 years ago when we had talked about it at this point. And he still didn't really get any flack back from that. He still remained CEO. He didn't take a pay cut or anything. And it was almost like there was no reaction to any of the sexual allegations back then and all the damning stuff that had come out at that point. And now it's just a deluge, it seems like, of more and more stuff. And it's shocking that he was on the board and CEO and there for so long, if this was the case.
Agreed. I agree, yeah. I'm a little shocked that it nothing ever actually came of it, though. But, you know, a good riddance at least now. But I think where we have an added bonus on things here, besides him being gone, is that Activision, Blizzard, and King are now being treated as separate entities once again. It means that it means that they're all going to be independent. And I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, Kyle, that means that Activision won't just be sucked into the Call of Duty black hole much longer. Call of Duty will still be getting developed and published, but that it will be that the things that Activision was well known for will come back.
That would be nice, especially, you know, when you think about all the companies that were absorbed into Activision slowly, and you know, they just kind of disappeared, and eventually you heard about new games that came out, like the when Toys for Bob made Spyro Collection and Crash, and or when Vicarious Visions made Tony Hawk, and it was like, oh, you know, all these excellent companies are back, but then they were reabsorbed once again solely to work on Call of Duty. And now that, you know, we do have them separated into these entities, maybe we can go a little bit further and let them have freedom to do their own projects and not be, like you said, sucked into that vacuum, because it is a vacuum at this point. It's a yearly game that, frankly, the last one was a complete failure. And maybe under Microsoft's wing, they can say, hey, guys, you need to look at what you're doing and back it off, or, you know, stand up to what kind of product you're putting out. And if you're not willing to put out a quality product, then maybe it's a line that needs to end.
I would think so too, but
yeah,
maybe
a wishful stretch.
I know, but maybe now, at least though, with him gone, maybe things will be better. Maybe we'll see things put a little differently. Yeah. So, good riddance. You know, I'm not going to be surprised if we do see more of these stories coming out, but at the same time, he's gone, and a new day begins for Activision, Blizzard, and King.
Yay.
And with that, then, that is it for this week's news roundup and 2023's final news roundup for the year. Kyle, any parting words before we wrap up the podcast here?
Oh, man. Do I have anything profound to say?
Probably not.
Probably not. Go play Baldur's Gate. If you haven't played it, anybody that's listening, go play Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. If you don't know what D&D is, this is a great, great in, and you'll understand what you're missing out on. It's fantastic.
Get to kick a squirrel, get to have relations with a bear.
Yeah. And, you know, get to figure out what a critical failure is, or, you know, it's so wild the amount that you're able to do. And, you know, I think it really speaks to what we have to look forward to in 2024, because it's already gearing up to be another fantastic year, and hopefully it'll follow through after this probably one of the best years in gaming. And I know I'm gonna sound like a broken record because everyone said it at this point, but honestly, we haven't had a year like this in so long. It does feel like possibly the best year in gaming ever, and I hope we can top it and just continue on. There's a lot to look forward to, and I think there's great things on the horizon for both Nintendo and Xbox, and we have a lot to see yet from PlayStation, even though they put up a bunch of useless devices that only work with one another out at the end of the year, but we'll see.
I think we will too. I think that sums it up very well, Kyle. So, we will end there. Of course, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into all of the episodes that we've put out here in 2023 and all of the episodes we've put out literally over the last 4 years. We're going into our fifth year coming up here, basically halfway through 2024. So, big things there, of course. I'm really hoping we can get onto a better schedule. These last, I don't know, a couple months have been rather chaotic, I think, but with a new year comes new hopes and new focuses that we can probably put into being able to deliver the content that we've been delivering on, again, these almost 5 years now. So with that, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's NPC's Weekly News Roundup. Of course, if you like what you're listening to, and guess what? I'm going to tell you right now, you do. You like listening to us. You like my voice. You like Kyle's voice. You like hearing what we like to talk about. You need to subscribe to us. So be sure to go ahead and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform of choice, whether that is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, over on YouTube Music, over on Amazon as well. You can even go pick us up there. But if you're not sure of where to subscribe to us, you can go check us out on our homepage and look at all the platforms we're on there. That's over at anchor.fm/the-npcs-podcast. You can go pick us up there. Again, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We will catch you all next year.
Laters.